The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayer here with you on a Friday. It's Friday, July 12th, and glad to have you on board this morning. We have a very interesting program coming up with the folks from BEAT, Berkshire Environmental Action Team. We have Rose Wessel and Andrew Ferrara. Going to be talking about air quality and breathing easy. It's something that as we come through the summer months, we start to maybe think about it a little bit more. And going to talk about what the sources of some of the poor air quality are here in the Berkshires and other places. And then maybe get into talking about some other things. We've got the river cleanup coming up, and also talking about peaking energy generating plants, which we know we've talked about before, and we'll get an update on that. First, let's get to the weather forecast and find out what's in store for us here today in the weather forecast today. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms. A chance of showers. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. A chance of thunderstorms. Showers likely, mainly in the morning. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. We do have some hot weather in store for us. Nothing we can't handle in the summer. Certainly did get quite a bit of rain from Hurricane Beryl up north. We didn't really have a huge impact with it here in the Berkshires and this part of western New England. But I'll tell you what, they've got some serious flooding up in Vermont. They had some tornadoes right over in New York State. Some of the most number of tornado warnings in one day that they've had there. So quite an impact from a hurricane that was, you know, started thousands of miles away. Very, very amazing to see that. All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And with me today, we have two folks from BEAT, Berkshire Environmental Action Team, Rose Wessel, who is the program manager of No Fracked Gas in Mass. And we have Andrew Ferrara, the education and outreach manager at BEAT. So welcome, both of you. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Let's talk about air quality, because that's something I think that's come into the consciousness of people more and more over the last, let's say 10 years or so, and probably somewhere around that range. And I think a lot of it was very focused on people's minds in the last few years when the wildfires, again, thousands of miles away in Canada and the west of the United States, suddenly started clouding our skies and turning our skies pink, and we couldn't necessarily go outside, or it wasn't safe to go outside during certain times of the day. It didn't feel really good being out there, and that really kind of brings it home.
Yeah.
But it's not, that's the obvious stuff, right?
Yep.
But there's always pollution in the air.
Yep.
And I think people are becoming more cognizant of that on a daily basis.
And of course, the air quality lately has been just soupy anyway.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can't help but think about it when you go outside, try to breathe, and it's like you're you know, breathing through wet towel. But yeah, we've been concerned about it for a while at BEAT. We got really concerned when the trash burning plant started to malfunction a couple years ago. And we applied for and received an EPA grant. EPA has a grant for communities to do their own air quality monitoring. So
And where did this grant come from?
The EPA.
Yep. So it's federal grant.
Yep, federal grant. And it's for communities to set up their own monitoring programs. Mm. So BRPC, the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission, got the same grant, so we're coordinating with them. They're mostly focusing on indoor air quality, and we're focusing just on Pittsfield and outdoor air quality. So it was really fantastic. Of course, by the time we got the grant, the trash burning plant was gone. So that was a major source that was gone away.
Yeah. And that was a number of years in the making, too, right? It had gone through several different owners, from what I remember.
Yep.
And it was a failing old plant. It was designed when, in the 70s or 80s, something like that?
I think so, yeah. And there were a lot of safety things that weren't undertaken. We actually had a whistleblower come and let us know what was happening inside the plant. And we made sure that EPA was on top of it, DEP, the Department of Environmental Protection, and we made sure that they and the city were all talking to each other. And then we heard that they were just closing down. So it was like, that was best.
Yeah.
It was kind of burnt out, and emissions were coming straight from the burn area through the roof. And that's why you
not
get
the
that.
Way it was designed.
No,
I'm sure, right?
That's why if you tried to get to Price Chopper or any of those places, and your throat, you know, your eyes and throat would just burn.
The Price Chopper parking lot was really miserable.
Yeah,
I gotta say,
I don't know if it hurt their business, but boy, a couple times I stopped there, it's like, wow, it hurts to be this close to the plant.
And again, it's more of a concept thing too, right? Back then, and you know, 40, 50 years ago, the idea of saying, well, what are we going to do with all this trash? Yeah. Well, we'll just burn it. That's what we'll do. Oh, don't worry. We'll filter it so that the stuff doesn't go into the air, right? But it'll be fine. And actually, we'll generate some energy, so it'll be, you know, a win-win. I think that was the concept, right?
It was the concept, and a little bit of embarrassing personal history. I actually won a environmental contest in junior high suggesting that we just burn the trash. If I had only known what the repercussions were, I never would have. But one of the other things that triggered it was the life expectancy in different Pittsfield neighborhoods is wildly different. If you live downtown as opposed to some of the outlying areas, especially the southeast corner, it's as much as 12.5 years shorter life expectancy if you live downtown. So we wanted to see, I'm sure there are a lot of factors that go into that. It usually is.
And there are other environmental factors in Pittsfield as well, as we've seen.
Other environmental, there's socioeconomic, there's a whole bunch of factors that go into it. But why not identify what we can and try and do something about what we can.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're looking for strong sources of air pollution, and we're looking to work with the community to find solutions to what we encounter. So we want to hear people's feedback. What are they worried about? And actually, if they go to our breatheeasyberkshires.org site, on the front page, if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a form you can fill out if you're worried about air quality in your neighborhood. And we have stationary monitors across the city. Yeah. There's 10 of them.
And actually, for our television viewers, because this Morning Drive program is not only heard on 89.7 WTBR FM on the radio and on live stream, but we're also seen on Access Pittsfield, which is cable channel 1301 here in Pittsfield, and then also on the PCTV Select app. I'm just going to take a shot of what we've got, and you're going to be talking about where the monitoring stations are, and I'm just going to cut to the breatheeasyberkshires.org website where it has kind of a layout of that. So here it is right there.
Yeah, and you can see that on the homepage, that map shows up, and there are dots where all these monitors are, and the color of that dot indicates the air quality for that day, too. Mm. There's a legend on the site that shows green, which means everything is great, no one has to worry. Yellow, which means that people who have health sensitivities might want to limit their activity outside. Mm. They're still probably fine to go out, but don't go jogging maybe, where you're going to be breathing deep. And then orange, where more people start to run into health problems. Red, where just about anybody's going to feel it. People that have like asthma or COPD will really need to stay inside. Mm. If you need to go out into bad air quality, an N95 mask, we all got familiar with those during COVID.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but it filters out the worst of the pollution and helps a great deal on a bad air day. Mm. But these are at the Silver Lake is where the EPA main monitor is.
So that's like ground zero for the air monitoring.
We have one there for calibration to see how they compare. And then there's one near Harbor Freight to see how the traffic affects it. One at Allendale Elementary School, Morningside Community School. Those are to get a sense of what, kids in the city are dealing with.
Yeah.
Pittsfield City Hall and the fire department. Mm-hmm. City Hall for downtown and fire department because it's right next to the transit area.
Right.
So the trains are coming through there. The buses stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Habitat for Humanity headquarters, which is in Westside.
Yep.
So we're seeing what happens there. And Pittsfield Airport. And they've been really cooperative. They're really interested in seeing what the results are.
Yeah.
So they helped us make sure that there was one that caught, the cross traffic between the runways. One out on East New Lenox Road, that's where the life expectancy is really good.
Interesting.
And the Southeast Residential area as well, near Curvin Park. So we had a couple where life expectancy is good, a bunch where it's really, short, and then other ones scattered near potential choke points where
pollution. And it seems like the ones on the outskirts are almost like a control in a way where you don't expect to have a lot of pollution in those areas. So that might even be your baseline.
Yep. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to see what sort of health effects this causes. So if you go out and you get watery eyes, runny nose, congestion, coughing or wheezing, difficulty breathing, or even a sore throat, itchy eyes, you might want to check the air quality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that on our website.
And it might not be the first thing that people think of either when they step outside and they don't think that maybe that's what's causing it. They say, oh, it's allergies, or I must have woken up with some dry eyes today. It doesn't feel quite right or whatever.
Yep.
And you don't think that maybe there's an external source that's, something's actually causing that or exacerbating it.
Yeah, one of my friends went out jogging one time when, the sky was orange. That should have been a warning sign.
Yeah.
But she went out jogging. She came back. She's like, my lungs hurt. Something must be wrong. And I looked it up. The air quality that day was 91 because of the wildfires.
Yeah.
So 91 is getting into orange zone where it's really high. But aside from the stationary monitors, we also have mobile monitoring going out.
Hmm.
And Andrew, did you want to talk about that? Because you've been working on that.
Let's hear about the mobile monitoring.
Yeah. So as Rose mentioned, we have the stationary monitors, which are monitoring all the time and in the same location. So that's really our baseline. And we have mobile monitoring team members who go out with handheld devices that also measure the two pollutants that we're looking at right now are particulate and NO2. We can talk about those more later. So we have devices that monitor those, and we'll walk around different areas of Pittsfield, different routes, and different times of day. And that's really looking to get a more up close and personal view of the current air conditions.
Mm.
So zooming in on more specific areas of concern, some potential sources of pollution, such as a laundromat, different businesses. With the heat, we've been circling around the peaking power plant at Pittsfield Generating, and really getting a more microscopic look at air quality in different areas.
It also kind of gives you a snapshot, right, of that one moment in time. So if you know, for example, that it's hot out and the peaking plant is running, okay, what does it look like now,
exactly,
compared to maybe when it's not running or at a different time of the year?
Yeah. And when it's hot like this, too, it takes a while for them to fire up. They get notification from ISO New England, oh, we might hit peak on the grid.
Huh.
So they have to start firing up their turbines to be ready to go into production. So they tend to run for some fairly long periods at a low grade.
Huh.
And then when it's really hot and they're asked to generate, that's when the full plant kicks up.
So that's where we see, maybe in the winter, it's easier to see when the things are running, right? Because you see the steam coming out of the the smokestacks. But usually you'll see it at the lower level.
Yep.
And maybe that's what you're describing there, is that things sort of getting ready or getting prepared to go.
Yeah.
Very rarely, right, do you see the smoke coming out of the top part.
Yeah, that's when it's running full bore. And that's actually steam. People are like, oh my God, what's in those emissions? Whatever's in those emissions, it's stuff that's in the water that they pull, which, you know, given that there's PCB dumps right behind it, we don't know exactly what's in that water table, but that's just steam. And there are a bunch of shorter stacks on the roof behind those three big stacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gas turbines firing up. So that's the fossil fuel emissions.
Okay.
And that gets into the kind of stuff that we're looking at.
Hmm.
If you're looking at air quality index, the AQI, that is a mix of different things. So that's ground level ozone, that's particulate matter, which comes in a range of sizes. There's carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen dioxide.
Hmm.
And they take all the numbers for those and put it into an air quality index.
Okay.
And that's what gives you those different color segments.
Yeah.
You know, if it's green, you're good to go. If it's yellow, be careful if you're sensitive. That whole thing, that's the AQI.
What are some of the causes of those different materials? Because Andrew mentioned it also. I think you said that there were two main types of pollutants that you're looking at right now. One was particulate matter, right?
Yep, and NO2, which is nitrogen dioxide.
Nitrogen, okay. So tell us then what is sort of the principal cause for each one of those two things in our area.
So in our area, when we're looking at NO2, we're mostly looking at car emissions. That's the fossil fuel emissions. And particulate matter, that can really come from a lot of different sources. A lot of the times what we're noticing is when you have kind of a scent in the air, that can be a key for particulate and also volatile organic compounds, which is what gives off that scent. But it's really just anything getting stirred up. There's particulate included in car emissions.
Could that be from construction and things like that also?
Yep. And we were monitoring down by where they're taking down some of the old GE buildings.
Right.
And we did get some slightly higher readings, but we did see that they had a huge mister putting out you know, a spray to keep the dust down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doing a good job. The readings weren't terribly high.
Yeah. And that was a really old building. That was a 100-plus-year-old building they were taking down that used to be the part of what they made transformers, right, for GE for many, many decades.
And, of course, our monitors are just particulate matter and NO2, so we don't know what other things that we don't have sensors for might have been floating in the air.
Mm.
But they were doing it right. They had the big mist guns running, so that helps keep that kind of thing down.
Yeah, and I've noticed also driving by there that there are a couple of fenced-off kind of large air monitoring sensors that they've got also in different locations. I assume those are specifically for that project.
Yeah, and I'm sure it has sensors that, you know, deal with what they suspect will be in the building as it comes down.
Mm-hmm.
But all that stuff's going to get buried underneath where the buildings are.
Which is interesting too, right? That could be another whole show probably.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? But
well, where do you send it to? I mean, do you dump it into another community?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really hard to figure out what to do if there's no way to, you know, remediate and eliminate those.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a whole other.
You would think the things like that could be recycled steel, you know, and other things like that could be used. But There's probably quite a bit there that we don't know that just can't be. And you just wonder also about the reusability of that site then. If you're going to just bury a whole bunch of stuff, what does that portend for the future to be able to use that ever again for something?
Yeah, that's how we've ended up with the moonscape, as Tricia Farley Bouvier once called it. Yeah. I love that. I can't stop calling it the moonscape, the moonscape now, in the middle of town.
Site 9 or whatever they call it.
Site 9 is just one of them. They are working, I think it's... the Pittsfield Economic Development is working on greening one of those lots.
Right.
And that's a great use. Mm-hmm. I would love to see it covered in solar, too, because there's no deep digging to put solar in. And we could get into a whole thing on that, too.
Yeah, we could.
But if you're looking at particulate matter, though, one of the reasons that particulate matter is really important is there's different classifications of size of particulate matter. And there's one that's PM 2.5, and it's a fraction of the width of a hair. It's
so
really
small. So that's 2.5 microns is what that size indicates.
There you go. Yeah, and the problem with that is it can get into your deep into your lungs. It can cross over into the bloodstream, and then it gets carried throughout the body. So over time, being exposed to particulate matter can have some serious health impacts.
Yeah.
It can cause some respiratory issues. It can cause cardiovascular issues. It can cause premature birth. It can cause low weight birth. So being exposed to it long term, especially, is really harmful.
Yeah, and that's something, again, that we don't think about on a daily basis, but maybe we should.
Yeah.
And the days where we see the orange sky from, you know, distant wildfires or something like that only brings it into focus for us at that point. But, again, these air quality monitoring, this that you're doing through the federal EPA grant, is a way to sort of check to see, even when we're not thinking about it, right? Yep. What does it actually look like out there, and what kind of dangers might be lurking where we're not looking?
Yeah, because you may not even have those symptoms that I mentioned. You may not even get the scratchy throat and all that stuff and still be exposed to air pollution. So it's really important to check the air quality index, and that's something that anybody can do.
Yeah.
If you want to go to airnow.gov.
Yeah, and for our television viewers, we'll cut to that as well. We've got that right here. So
They have a great website, and you can also download the app on your phone. So when you go to check the weather, you can also go to check the air quality, and it will give you a reading for your town. You put your location in there, and you'll get a reading. You can even put multiple locations in there. I have a technologically inclined sister-in-law up in Vermont. She's going, "What's my air quality?" So I have hers loaded in there. I get to switch over to South Royalton, and there she is.
And for the TV viewers, what you're looking at on the screen there is the one for 01201 for Pittsfield.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're in the good quality today. So it's I don't know what the actual number is. It's kind of hard to see on that screen.
But. But it's really easy to download. You just go to your app store, and it's airnow.gov, and you can pull that up anytime, see what the reading is, see if you're good to go, if you need to limit your outdoor activity, or maybe wear a mask if you have to go out. And the other place you can check is breatheeasyberkshires.org. That's our website. And on the homepage, there's that map that we showed earlier. Yep. And you can click on those individual dots and see what the air quality index number is, aside from just the color. And there's also a little thing that shows up when you click on that says show in plot. And you can see what it's like for the day, the week, the month, or even the past year. Our monitors haven't been up for a full year.
So I'm just going to click on one here, and that's one is the probably the East New Lenox Road, I'm guessing.
Yep.
I'm not sure. Could also be the Curvin Park one. I don't know.
Yep.
No, that one's 694 Merrill Road.
Oh, okay. That's right by Harbor Freight.
Ah, okay.
Yep, that's right near Harbor Freight. So not bad. It's in the green, and that's right by Dalton Ave. So traffic is not bad enough, and the air conditions aren't bad enough that it pushes it into the yellow.
And this is updated all the time. It's not just once a day. So as the day moves on and things heat up and change in terms of the air quality, you can always keep checking.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Again, we wouldn't think about it on a daily basis if not to have someone tell us, you might want to think about that, especially if you're predisposed also to some of the effects. And that could be, like you said, an asthma condition, right? It could be cardiovascular.
Yep.
Any number of things that that can trigger some of the problems.
Yep. Yeah. So. Yeah. Did you want to talk about the different routes that you're doing with the mobile monitor?
Hmm. Yeah, so I can say some of the ones that we've been going on, but I also want to first take a moment to emphasize again that we really want this to be a community-driven project.
Mm-hmm.
So we would welcome anyone reaching out with specific air quality concerns if they have an idea of where emissions might be in their neighborhood. We want these mobile routes to be really adaptive and changing and responsive to community concerns. Mm. So we want to be able to go out and investigate something that you particularly might be interested in.
So if someone's interested in that, first of all, what's involved with it when they call and say, hey, I'm interested in knowing what specifically the air quality is like around my property? What happens next?
So usually can have a response form. We have a response form on our website, so you can just type in a message if you want, or you can call us, email us. And what we would do is we would want to know what you're seeing, feeling, experiencing. If it's, every Thursday morning, I get a really itchy throat when I go outside and walk my dog. We would want to know that. We would want to know if you can see visually anything that might indicate where these emissions might be coming from.
Some new activity happening in and around your area, for example.
Somebody decided to burn something off. It could be anything. Or there's a food truck that has bad emissions that park near your house.
Mm.
There could be a lot of different sources. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what we do is we contact our mobile monitor squad. We have a team of four people, and then we also have two interns that go out regularly. And we would just send them your way. Mm. You might see any of our monitors walking around on the streets with our little handheld devices. Mm-hmm. And always stop and ask questions. we're welcome to that.
But they don't need to necessarily connect with you. The monitors will just head out to your area and
right.
with the device and take the readings or whatever.
Right.
Do they have the special jackets or anything like that so you know that their intentions are good in your neighborhood?
Yeah, we have reflective vests and a little name badge with our logo on it. So if you see us, stop and ask questions.
And you've also been doing regular routes, you know, absent any alarms to go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
We devised regular routes in the different neighborhoods. The neighborhoods where life expectancy is good, the neighborhoods where it's not. And then there are some investigative routes that we've identified where there might be sources of pollution and we want to go and make sure that everything's okay or not.
Have you had any surprises with those routes where you were expecting one thing and you found something different?
Thankfully, no.
Hmm.
We've had, and this is a good moment to talk about what we have been finding.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that the air quality in Pittsfield is most of the time relatively good.
That's great.
We're not seeing any enormous causes of concerns.
Hmm.
Like we said, that's exactly what we would have expected had the trash incinerator still been up and running when we started this project. But what we see is minor fluctuations and from very expected sources.
Mm. Well, we certainly think of Berkshire County and all the environs as a cleaner place anyway, and we're historically the place where the cities send their kids during the summer for the fresh air, right? And so you would expect that we would have good air, and yet, you know, there certainly have been pockets of areas over the years that have not been all that great. I mean, anyone who travels to New York City for even a day and walks around knows that the air in New York City is not the same as the air in Berkshire County or in Pittsfield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I have respiratory issues. So when I go to New York, I come back with a headache. It's like, okay. This is why I just visit. But and it's interesting. I pulled it up yesterday, and all of the monitors were green except for the city hall and the airport, but they were only slightly into the yellow.
Now, why the airport? I would have guessed that the airport would be so far out that it wouldn't be a source of pollution. Yeah. Other than, I guess, the airplanes coming in and out, right? Is that it?
That's it. There's airplanes coming in and out pretty regularly. Mm. And when there's enough traffic, it starts to build up. So that's one of the things that the manager of the airport was interested in looking into, lower emissions for airplanes like electric planes or alternative fuels. So he was very interested in seeing what the readings were as well.
Mm-hmm. So. And as we add more electric vehicles and hybrid vehicles to the road here and other places, I would imagine you'd expect some of these readings to improve. And that's another thing, like you've got this grant to put this monitoring in place. This, yep. again, will give you a baseline, right, of what will be as of 2024.
Yeah.
And maybe in the future you'd be able to go back and look and say, okay, you know, these things have changed during that time, and how has that affected the air quality?
Yeah, a really helpful thing would be if we got electric school buses. Mm. And if some towns require electric delivery vans, I don't know if we're in a place to do that, but it's something to think about.
Very
so UPS has to go with UPS, FedEx, all those have to go with electric delivery.
Wasn't there an announcement from the BRTA recently about electric also?
I'm not up on the latest. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Last I knew they were looking at...
I think it's like a pilot program or something.
Yeah, they were looking at
something
hybrid.
Didn't seem like
they
were replacing the entire fleet or anything, but maybe taking that first step.
Yeah, and pilot is great. It's a step. They can, you know, learn all the kinks before they... you know, transfer over the entire fleet. But if they're looking at electric, great. Mm. I hadn't heard about that.
I know that there's an infrastructure issue too, right? It's the chicken or egg where you want to have both, but you really need to have a way of charging the buses. And they're probably a little different than charging a Prius or charging something else.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah. Luckily, Pittsfield is a limited area. And so it would be the longer run buses that would need to make sure they have charging in the outlying areas.
So you can get all the way to North Adams and back on a charge, for example.
Yeah.
All right, we're speaking with folks from BEAT here this morning, Rose Wessel, who's the program manager of No Fracked Gas in Mass, and Andrew Ferrara, who is the education and outreach manager at BEAT. And we'll continue this conversation. We've reached that top of the hour break time, so we'll do our station ID, and we'll do a couple of things to thank our underwriters and all the other things that we do in this little break. And we'll be back with more from BEAT on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Here we go again.
Excellent!
I demand more!
89.7 WTBR FM. Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from the Office of Cultural Development in Pittsfield. The next First Fridays at 5 is July 5th. They'll have the Berkshire Blues Legends Show on the main stage with the Amy Ryan Band and Misty Blues. Wandering Dance brings African music and dance to Persit Park and a family fun zone in Dunham Park. For more details, go to lovepittsfield.com. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass. Now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs. Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Music education in the Pittsfield Public Schools fosters creativity and motivation in our students. Let's hear from one of our youngest composers and percussionists.
At first, I wasn't very sure about percussion, but when I started, it was amazing. I always wanted to play an instrument, and now I've accomplished that. Playing percussion motivates me and makes me feel good.
Band together and support music in the Pittsfield Public Schools.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Let's have a party with all our friends. Let's have a good time. Don't let it end. We got the people and
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sondrini.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on Friday, July 12th, and glad to have you along for the program. We have the folks from BEAT here talking about air quality, and coming up we'll be talking about the river cleanup that's happening on the Housatonic River, and also maybe get a little bit into the peaker plants and how they affect things here in the summer, when a lot of times that's when the biggest pressure on the electrical grid happens and the peaker plants become in play, if you will. We'll talk about that. First, let's get back to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store from the National Weather Service today.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly sunny. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 20%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms. A chance of showers. Humid with lows in the upper 60s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming mostly sunny. A chance of thunderstorms. Showers likely, mainly in the morning. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have the weather forecast for the middle of July, basically. And it is hot for sure and humid. Nothing we can't handle, although that means a lot of people, including me, will be running their air conditioners, because it is really hard to sleep on nights where it doesn't get much below 70 degrees and humid. So we'll talk about some of the impacts of that in a later part of the show. But first, let me welcome back again Rose Wessel and Andrew Ferrara, both from BEAT, Berkshire Environmental Action Team. Thanks, both of you, for being here again this morning.
Yeah, great to be here.
Okay. So let's finish up what we were talking about, because we just had to take our little top of the hour break, and we were talking about air quality and breatheeasyberkshires.org, which is the website you can go to if you want to find out more about the project with air quality monitoring throughout Pittsfield. But you're looking for some feedback on health concerns. Let's talk about that. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, so again, we're doing mobile monitoring different areas of Pittsfield, and we're really wanting to respond to community concerns. So if you have a certain source of pollution that you're interested in, if you have noticed your health suffering during different times of day, different areas, itchy throat, coughing, any of those kind of experiences, we want to hear it. And we'll be at a few community events upcoming in August. We're going to be walking around at the First Friday on August 2nd with our air quality monitors. So you can come ask questions, see kind of what we do, what it what pertains to monitoring, and what some of the emissions at that event might be, if we see any.
Well, that's kind of an interesting thing too, isn't it? When you get a large group of people together, does that influence the emissions?
Luckily, a lot of people don't breathe out nitrogen dioxide. So. But there are a lot of people who would experience whatever might be in the area.
Yeah. And we do notice some things, you know, walking closer to a food truck, for example, if there are things at that event.
What about the impacts of agriculture and things like that? Because that must have an impact as well, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking farming, animals, cows, you know, methane, et cetera.
We don't have methane monitors.
No, okay.
We looked at that, but it wasn't in the budget. but, yeah, I mean, that's methane. There might be some particulate from the dust. Mm. It'll tend to be a more heavy particulate.
Okay.
We mentioned
which
before.
Which isn't as dangerous, right?
Right.
The smaller...
It gets trapped
particles
in the nose.
Yeah,
it gets trapped in the nose and the mouth. It doesn't get all the way down into the lungs like the fine particulate matter that comes from burning things.
Mm.
So if it's a car that's burning gasoline, your tractor might have high emissions, you know, burns fossil fuels. It might even put out a lot of nitrogen dioxide.
Uh-huh.
I have a relatively old car by now, and the nitrogen levels were really high. The nitrogen dioxide levels were really high when we were had the monitor in there. It's like, oops. So I, you know, got my exhaust checked.
Yeah.
But agriculture, for the kind of stuff we're testing, it might not show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you also mentioned before, not something that's part of this project, but the indoor air quality.
Yeah.
And that's something that the BRPC is doing more of with their section of it.
Yep.
And are we talking about the kinds of things that, like gas stoves and things like that inside people's houses that can cause that problematic air
appliances
quality?
Appliances are probably one of the biggest things. Yeah, gas stove, gas furnace, gas water heater, dryer. That's certainly for particulate matter and nitrogen dioxide. I don't know if they're looking for mold either. They're a little bit behind us. They haven't fully implemented yet.
Okay.
But we have a meeting coming up with them soon because we, you know, coordinate. And that's a good question to ask is what are they looking for?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so some of the other feedback you're looking for, Andrew, you said on August 2nd at First Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
I see here at the Christian Center also.
Yep. We'll also be at the Community Day at the Christian Center August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
During their back-to-school clothing giveaway. And we'll have a table there with information of BEAT, also our air quality monitors. And we're really open to come to any other community events, community meetings. We really want to get the word out and get feedback. So if you have an event coming up that you'd like to invite us to, we'd love to come.
Great.
Yeah, just send us an email to team@thebeatnews.org, and that's BEAT. Sometimes people think
team at thebeatnews.org.
Yep.
All right, there you go. And I would imagine you can also go to the breatheeasyberkshires.org website where you have the form that you can fill out there at the bottom, and that information will reach you as well.
Absolutely.
Great. Air quality is important, folks. Let's keep that in mind and make more awareness of it in our daily lives as we go along. Let's talk about the river cleanup for a moment. And this is something that BEAT has done on a regular basis, right, for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about this year's activities.
Yeah, so we actually have our next cleanup is tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 12. And we meet at Wacona Park, go to different sections along the river in Pittsfield. And we find all sorts of stuff. A few notable findings from our last month's cleanup were some bike parts, car parts, two entire scooters, a cash drawer, actually, which the police were very responsive. They came, picked it up.
Well, of course, we have to know if there was any cash in it.
No, unfortunately, it was empty. And it was empty when we got it, not after.
Now, obviously, this stuff doesn't find its way to the river accidentally, right? People are tossing this stuff. Is it being tossed and then making its way down the river, or is it just ending up exactly where it started? And this is a constant thing, right? Every single year, you're finding more and more of this stuff.
Yeah, so BEAT has been doing these cleanups in partnership with the Housatonic Valley Association for over 20 years, since before we've been an organization. we've actually noticed a downward trend in the amount of stuff that we're finding and pulling out.
Well, that's good.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
But it
that means people are more conscious of. I'm hoping.
Yeah,
People have gotten the message that, you know, hey, I understand. I want to throw this thing out. I'm just not going to do it in the river.
Yes.
Anymore.
One of the things that I've heard our executive director Jane mention, you know, because she's been doing it since it started, is there used to be a lot of mattresses, and those get really bogged down. They get heavy and nasty. And she said
very
there's
hard to pull
less
out.
And less of that happening.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. My favorite story of what was found was an ATM. An entire ATM.
I mean, the story behind that, just the story. I would love to know how, you know, that's the end of the story, right, is where it ended up. But what was the story before that? That's what I want to know.
And now you had a lot of shopping carts at this last one, right?
Yeah. So historically, there's been tons and tons of shopping carts. I know one year in the past, 2004, 2005, there were over 30 that were pulled out on the river. We've actually seen an improvement since then. One kind of notable reason for that is Big Y in Pittsfield implemented locking shopping carts. To make it harder for people to take them out of the parking area.
Okay.
They have since stopped purchasing the locking shopping carts, and we're starting to see a tick back up in numbers. So we pulled 10 out in June, and there are 3 more that we know of that we still have to get out. But we're expecting to see more. And that's one of those things that you can very clearly tell that it's something that people are throwing over the sides of bridges. So that's something that very intentionally gets put in the river, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
They weren't brought there by the wind.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
And, you know, it has a very real impact on the river. And then, of course, for the volunteers that are going out and, you know, putting their effort in to get this stuff out of the river, that's a lot of work. And it can be, I would imagine, dangerous also in some cases. You don't know what you're finding there and pulling out in some cases, right?
Definitely.
I noticed that you also found a lot of nip bottles. I used to live 25 years ago. Boy, time flies. I used to live in a downtown area in Westfield. And I had a little hedge out in front of my row house where I lived. And I used to pull nip bottles out of there, you know, good bagful every week.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised you're seeing it in the river.
Yeah. At one of the locations, volunteers counted over 200 of those little nip bottles. Yeah. Yep.
Well, that's a thorn in the side for a lot of people. And I guess that's where the public policy gets in play, right? Is that you start to say, okay, this is a problem. It's not just an annoyance. It's a problem. And, you know, what do we do about it? And what kind of public policy can be put in place to either encourage people to return the bottles, right? And that would be a deposit of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Or you look at it and say, you know, maybe you don't allow certain sizes of, you know, bottles to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, and those are both controversial things because people immediately say, oh, you can't, you know, do that. But again, you have a problem and it needs to be solved some way. And so, you know, answers have to come from somewhere.
Yeah, and we know a nip ban was proposed in Pittsfield and
I remember that
didn't pass through.
Right.
And yeah, it was very contentious.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we at BEAT and myself personally are very excited about as a potential solution is an expansion of the current bottle bill.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, for beer and sodas, you pay your cost of a six pack or whatever, and it's a 5 cents per bottle. And then those get returned at a redemption center. You get your 5 cents back.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that a lot of different environmental groups, Plastic-Free Mass specifically, which BEAT is part of, is pushing for an updated bottle bill, which, among other things, would increase the deposit from 5 to 10 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So vastly improving the incentive to actually go and return those bottles, but would also expand the beverage containers that are covered under that. And one of those things that would be included is the nip bottles.
Mm.
And so we would expect to see a much higher return rate. It's worth noting that we found 200 nip bottles at one location. But we did not find many soda cans. We did not find as many beer cans. Mm. Certainly there were some.
But why is that? Because they have a value to someone. Someone will take them and return them.
Exactly.
And, you know, the bottle bill at this point is so wildly just inconsistent in that a similar can, a can that looks exactly the same for, you know, a 5 cent can that I can return in Massachusetts. And I look at it and I say, oh, you know, this White Claw or whatever, you know, other type of beverage, because it wasn't soda and it wasn't beer. That one's not returnable, right? And I don't mind putting it in the recycles, but I don't think everyone's going to bother doing that. If it's not worth the 5 cents, you know, it'll get thrown out.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, the whole idea of whether something should be made out of glass and aluminum, which are more recyclable, versus plastic, which, you know, sometimes you can reuse it and sometimes you can't. You just wonder why we're not re-incentivizing the more recyclable materials over the less so.
And so some components of one proposed better bottle bill that's in the legislation right now and we're hoping passes through would actually have a portion of incentives for going back to refill systems for some of these beverages and certain targets that would be met by certain dates, you know, a certain percentage of all of the beverages sold meet refill requirements. But really, I believe that the way to move to a system where it's refillable bottles and, you know, bottles made of good material is to start with that recycling infrastructure. I think that's a really good building place to then move back to, getting your milk or even your soda in glass bottles that you then return, that get refilled. When you think about the impact of an everlasting, you know, glass bottle versus one that's getting recycled, it's still a clear improvement.
Are you encouraged by the recent policy decision from the Pittsfield City Council and the mayor's office to create the toter system in Pittsfield, which will encourage more recycling by allowing, you know, a smaller amount of trash and a larger recycling toter to be used? Do you think that will improve some of the things that you see, especially like with the river cleanup? Will there be a connection to how polluted some of our areas are because of that?
Absolutely. I'm definitely encouraged to see that the toter contract got passed. That was something that we were following through the process. And it's going to be a big adjustment for a lot of families. We don't want to deny that. It's a big change.
Especially if you're not in the habit of doing it.
Exactly. But we have seen it work. We've seen it work in different cities and towns across Massachusetts, across the United States. It's very clear that when unlimited trash disposal becomes checked, people stop producing that much trash. It's a very clear, again, incentive, like we were talking about incentives for the bottle bill. It's the same thing.
Yeah. People got to have a little skin in the game when it comes to it. It's got to come out of their pocket.
Exactly.
Or they won't be incentivized to do it. We're speaking with Rose Wessel and Andrew Ferrara from Beat Berkshire Environmental Action Team here on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And Rose, you were just about to say.
Yeah, I was just saying that a lot of trash, you know, we're worried about there not being a trash burning plant and the costs of, you know, disposing of things right now. A lot can be saved from the landfill. And, of course, fabrics are now not, you know, textiles are no longer allowed to go into the trash stream.
Right.
And Beat actually has a bin for clothing, but you can also bring things that are, they need to be clean. But you can bring things that aren't wearable quality, you know, if it's gone to rags or if they're old rags that you at least have washed.
Yeah.
You can drop them off in the Helpsy bin. That's the name of the company that takes it. And whatever they can't salvage and resell becomes insulation.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. Okay. And it makes a huge difference. Our bins fill up fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And where are those bins if people want to bring stuff there?
They're at 20 Chapel Street in Pittsfield.
Which is off of, give people an idea where that is.
Yeah, it's off of Melbourne. It's near the near the airport, that okay. part of town off mm-hmm. of Barker Road.
Okay.
So, yeah, Beat Headquarters has them. Also, if you're heading up through through Adams, the Old Stone Mill mm-hmm. on Route 8 mm-hmm. in Adams has them as well. Mm. So if one's full and you really want to get rid of your stuff, you can always take it up there, too, and see if there's space there.
Yeah.
But that kind of incentive makes a huge difference. We can cut out about 60% of waste through effective recycling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's stuff that won't go to a landfill and won't take hundreds of years to break down.
Exactly. Yeah.
And can actually make the city some money back.
Mm.
Yep. And it's also an exciting time right now, frustrating, exciting. It's the end of the legislative session coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Every 2 years is the end of a Massachusetts state legislature cycle.
Right.
And the new bottle bill, at least some, one form of it, I'm not sure if it was just one bill or some of the other bills, but they passed the Senate. They haven't passed the House yet. The House is yet to come to their end of session thing.
Interesting.
So we're also waiting with bated breath to see if the House can come up with a climate bill. The Senate came up with one. It left out some environmental justice concerns. Hmm. So we're really hoping the House will come and pinch hit for that. We don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so
that legislation a lot of times comes down to those last few moments of the session.
Yes.
And you don't know what's going to happen until you find out the next day what actually went down.
Yeah, right? The whole system really needs to be transparent.
Yeah,
if you sit there
though.
And watch, yeah. if you sit there and watch the votes, you can't tell who voted on what.
No.
They'll say, let's have the votes. Yes, the yeas have it. The nays don't. It's like, wait a minute. No time passed. How did people vote, and who did what? And there's no view into that.
There's a lot of traditions in one of the oldest legislatures in the country.
Yeah, not good ones.
So that's great. And one more thing for the river cleanup. Give us another idea of when these are happening. There's one tomorrow morning.
Yep.
How do people get involved if they want to be involved with it?
Yep, so we have one tomorrow morning. We have our last one August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested, you can go to our website, thebeatnews.org, and you'll see the event listing in our calendar, and you can register to come. We provide lunch mm-hmm. for all of our volunteers, and we're looking for volunteers even if you're not interested in jumping in the river and, you know, hauling out mattresses and shopping carts. We also need volunteers to help take pictures and start documenting some of the things that we saw so that we know how many nip bottles and shopping carts that we've been finding.
What do you have to wear? Do you have any personal protective gear that's necessary to do this work?
So Beat and HVA, we provide waders and gloves, reusable gloves, just a note. But if you want to come, make sure you bring some sturdy shoes, clothes that you don't mind getting wet and possibly dirty, and definitely, you know, water and enough snacks to keep you going.
I'm sure it's quite the experience.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
And so in the last couple minutes that we have left with our folks from Beat, let's get a quick update on the peaker plants in Pittsfield and Berkshire County, Rose.
Yeah. Just one thing that popped up yesterday. We sent someone out to the Woodland Power Plant in Woodland Road Power Plant in Lee. What we did was the peaker power plants, they're the ones that run when the grid is absolutely maxed out.
Yep.
They're old. They run on things like kerosene.
Mm. Like this time of year, they're going to be running, right?
Yeah. And the cold weather, too.
Yeah.
But we had about 300 people sign petitions, and we talked to the power plant owners, and one of them was like, yeah, you're right. We should be shutting these down. So they shut down the one in Lee, and they shut down the one on the end of Doreen Street. There's a power plant there, too. And we sent somebody to the Woodland one because you can't get to the Doreen one.
Hmm.
It's behind a closed gate and through the woods. You can't see it. But the Woodland one, it's gone.
Really?
So they not only closed them down, they've dismantled them.
Huh.
So that's gone.
Yeah. With no plans to do anything else with it, rehab it into some other battery storage site or anything like that?
Not those, but the same owner actually has a plant in West Springfield that they're switching over to battery storage and solar.
Okay.
And we're still working with Pittsfield Generating. We're hoping to get an EPA grant for the city so that the city can work with them. We talked with the mayor about it in March. He was interested, but he hasn't followed through on it yet. Mm. And the deadline is coming up in November, and it's a first come, first serve. So we're starting to get antsy about getting that grant. But we could help Pittsfield Generating, who's willing to talk, but can't find a way forward, if there's any way the city can cooperate with them and help make it happen.
Well, and again, sometimes the incentive works. And there was just an article about the Wright Building in downtown Pittsfield where, you know, some grant money is the necessary sort of lubricant to get something like that moving. And, then you get something that's positive, a positive outcome. Maybe that's what ends up needing to happen.
Yeah, this could be $10 to $20 million for the city. Yeah. And one of the things they could do is put up solar, sell that power to Pittsfield Generating so that they can charge batteries. Mm. And then whatever the power plant doesn't need, they could sell to the grid and it becomes a source of income. And we're worried about the plant just booking out of town and dodging the tax rolls. We want to see it go on as a clean plant.
Yep, and we need the tax revenue as well. So nothing wrong with that. That sounds like a win-win.
Yep.
Rose Wessel and Andrew Ferrara, thank you so much for being here today. Great talking with you about all the things going on at BEAT. And we'll have you again, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Thanks, everybody, for joining us again here on Morning Drive. As always, have a great weekend. Stay out of the heat if you can, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.